Church, you are welcome to open the Bible in Luke chapter 10. It's a very long reading, verse 1 to verse 24. Luke chapter 10, verse 1 all the way to verse 24. The title of this sermon is The Mission Begins and Ends with Christ. Trisha, as they open the Bible, can we have our first slide? As you open the Bible, I just want to give you a FYI. There is a difference between Matthew chapter 10 and Luke chapter 10. Both of them talk about mission. You probably remember that we spent one time, 5 weeks, talking about Matthew 10. The topic was mission, mission, mission. What's the difference? Are we repeating ourselves? No. Matthew chapter 10 is mission-oriented. Luke chapter 10 is Christ-oriented. In Matthew chapter 10, you finish the sermon asking yourself, how can I do mission better? Today, when we finish this sermon, that's not the question you're going to ask. The question you're going to ask is this: wow, how amazing Jesus is. He does the mission. He is the Lord of the harvest, not us. Whether we obey or not, He will fulfill His mission. That's the difference here. So now that we saw that, I invite you to read with me verse 1 all the way to verse 4. And we're going to read verse 24, just as a matter of introduction. Verse 1 says this: after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go. I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. Verse 24, let us skip all the way to verse 24. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. God loves us, that's why He gave us His Word. He loves us, that's why He gave us His Son. And He loves us, that's why He gave us His Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit be the teacher here today. Can I add something to the God love theme? God loves us, that's why He gave us ice cream. Today, after the service. Great. Church. Trisha, can you go back? In verse 24 here, we see the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we talked about discipleship last week. And the secret of discipleship, it is grace. Because He saves me, because He gave me His Spirit, because He puts His Word in my mouth, because He called me, I am now encouraged to serve Him. Discipleship, it's nothing but the byproduct of Jesus' grace in our lives. If we think that we do stuff, that we volunteer, that we do everything on the strength of our arms, we were never going to become disciples. But when we understand His grace, the byproduct, the result of that, it's a true discipleship. And that we see in verse 24. Jesus says, kings, prophets, David, Moses, Jeremiah, Isaiah, great men of God, they all wish to hear the gospel, to see the Lord, to see His miracles. All of them wished to see that, but they never did. They only prophesied, but they never saw it. these 72 men, we are very much blessed because we see, because we hear, and because we are transformed by the gospel. That's verse 24, and introduces us to this mission theme. First point of this sermon is what we saw in verse 1 to verse 4. Christ is the Lord of the harvest. Where we see disaster, he sees opportunity. Jesus gives us two illustrations here. First one, the fields are ripe, but the laborers are fewer. And this is amazing, because when I see the world, church, I don't see a ripe field. I see problem. I see wars. I see homicides. I see murdering. I see unbelief. I see debates. I see hate. That's what I see. Jesus looks at the world and he sees the same things I see. But his mindset is different. He sees also a field that it's ready to be evangelized, the field that it's ready to be harvested. And that teaches us something amazing. We should have the same kind of view, the same eyes, the same worldview as Jesus does. We should see opportunity where we see disaster. And the second illustration Jesus gives here, it is, I am sending you like sheep among wolves. Pay attention to the math. There is few laborers, and there is a lot of wolves. In other words, yes, it is a ripe field, but it's not an easy field. Before you go, you need to pray. Before he says go, he says pray. Pray for the Lord of the harvest. Pray to send more workers. Pray to equip the workers. Pray to protect the workers. Pray to guide the workers. Jesus says, you're going among wolves. Pray. The prayer should nourish, saturate mission, witnessing, evangelism. All we do. So Christ is the Lord of the harvest. Let us move. Our next slide and our next point. Christ is the King of Peace. Find people of peace. Let us read from verse 4. Oh, we already saw verse 4. Let us read from verse 5 on. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, the kingdom of God is near you. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom and for that town than for that town. Verse 13, woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida, for if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. He who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Second point, it is Christ the King of Peace. Jesus says very clearly, find the people of peace. Church, who are the people of peace? They are obviously not Christians, otherwise they didn't need to go to them. They are obviously not perfect people because there isn't perfect people. Who are they? Who are these people of peace? It's very simple. We preach the gospel to everyone. There is no selective preaching of the gospel. We need to preach to everyone. And it goes like this, church. You preach, someone doesn't listen. You preach, someone hears the gospel, but they don't listen. You preach, and then the person who hears it creates a little bit of fellowship with you. And so you follow up with an invitation. Come to my church, and they come to the church. Or you follow up with an invitation. Would you like to know more about the Bible? And the person says, yes, I would. These last two people, they are the people of peace. That doesn't mean they will believe, but that means that they were hospitable to the message. That's what Jesus is saying. If you say peace to your house and the house accepts you, you're going to stay in the house. They will be hospitable to you. These are the people of peace. Again, pay attention to this. There is no selective preaching of the gospel. We need to preach the gospel to everybody, to the nice guy and to the boring guy. We need to preach the gospel to all of them. However, when you know your audience, you become a better speaker. When you know the people of peace and you invest in their lives, you find more fruit. Jesus put it in another way. He says this, do not throw your pearls to the swines. Right? So that's what you're looking for. People of peace. Hospitable. What if people don't want to listen to the gospel? Or what if they hear the message but they refuse to repent? What if? That's our next slide. Christ, the King of Peace, he's also the terror of the wolves. The same rod, the same staff that comforts the sheep, the disciples, is the same rod and staff that beats the wolves. And this we see here when Jesus talks about the wolves. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. And in verse 12, when Jesus says, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. There is one sentence and two kinds of judgments here, church. What are the two kinds of judgment? One, to the ones who opt not to listen, not to hear, not to be hospitable to the gospel. The disciples came and they said, we don't want to hear, go back. This is one kind of judgment. And there is the other one, the ones who have listened the most but did not repent. Who are these? Chorazin, Bethsaida, Capernaum. Capernaum was Jesus' headquarters. He spent most of his ministry there. They saw miracles, deliverance, power, the gospel. Jesus walked among them, ate with them, and they listened to the gospel. But they don't listen. They receive a blessing. They receive a miracle. But they don't repent. But they don't transform. But they don't commit. But they don't follow Christ. So these are two different levels, kinds of judgment. Only one sentence. Same sentence condemns both of them. Let us read verse 11. What is the sentence? Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God came very near you, to the doors of your house, to your ears, but it never reached your heart. You were thirsty, I gave you water with the gospel, but you did not drink it. You are hungry, and I bring the gospel like that good food that smells so good, and you did not eat it. You did not receive the gospel. Jesus says, to those who are given much, much will be requested. And even Spider-Man, who knows Spider-Man? The movie Spider-Man. It's out. I went to see yesterday. A great movie. Amazing. Even Spider-Man, Uncle Ben has a big, big phrase. He says this, with great powers. Let's see if you know Spider-Man. What's the next? Somebody knows. Comes great responsibility. Great powers brings great responsibility. Even Uncle Ben preaches to us. Those who hear the gospel but reject it will be condemned the most. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. Woe to you, Capernaum. So Jesus is the Prince of Peace and the terror of the wolves. Let us advance. Let us have a few painful applications here. Let us finish the reading from verse 17 to verse 23. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned, and reveal them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. Church, I want to do the application now before we conclude, because remember, the point of Luke here, it's not that we learn about mission. The point of Luke here is to point us to Jesus. The disciples go do the missions, but Jesus is still the main actor, okay? So let us learn a few things we could learn on a personal level. And then we conclude praising the Lord and seeing how beautiful Luke finishes this. Painful applications, church. First application we learn here is Jesus sees a ready field but neglected. If I ask you, where is the scarcity? It is not in the field. The field is plentiful and the field is ripe. Where is the scarcity? In the workers. Okay, we neglect the field. We opt to not preach the gospel. We opt not to witness it to people. And the question we need to ask is, when was the last time when was the last time that we witnessed to someone, talked to someone about Jesus? If that answer is long ago, or if that answer is never, we need to repent. Can I hear an amen? It's worse than homicide, church. Do you think, just raise your hand, homicide is bad? That's worse than that. Homicide kills the body. Lack of gospel, withholding the gospel from people, kills them eternally. Okay? If we don't preach the gospel, we need to repent ASAP. Second painful application for us. The disciples are amazed by the power when they ought to be convicted of their power. You see that they are surprised. Lord, even the demons submit to us. Church, I'm happy that they are happy. But at the same time, this is that bittersweet feeling. They ought not to be so surprised. Because Jesus told them, my power is going with you. I will confirm. I'm sending you. You don't go alone. Maybe they are surprised because they don't believe that Jesus is with them. Maybe they are surprised because they think when they are witnessing to someone, they think they are all alone. And I see a perfect correlation here. Our lack of witnessing, our lack of diligence in telling people about Christ, with our lack of understanding that He is with us. If we knew how much power there is in us, if we knew how much power the gospel carries, if we knew that our testimony, our history, the story that changes my life has the power to change the other person's life, if we knew that, we would witness more. We would be more vocal. We would be more outgoing about it. So that's the second reflection, painful application we have here. We ought to know the power we have. And third, Jesus rejoices and prays for salvation. What do we rejoice and pray for? John Piper, great preacher, he says this way, the average Christian, he thinks of prayer like an elevator. It takes you from ground to first, second floor, but it doesn't take you out of here. Why? Because the average prayer guy, Christian guy, prays for stuff. Bless me, protects me, take care of me, and me, and me, and me, and my church, and my country. And John Piper teaches us amazingly, you should see prayer not as an elevator, but you should see prayer as taking you from earth to heaven. I want to pray for people's salvation. I want to pray for more workers. I want to pray for His kingdom come and His will be done. I want to pray for His second coming. I want to pray to be more godly, more holy, more filled with the Spirit of God. I want to pray for the things that we need to pray. Jesus rejoices in the Holy Spirit. Not in the world, not in stuff, not in dreams, not in ice cream, even though ice cream is very good. Jesus rejoices in the Spirit, a joy that only God can give and nothing else in this world can give. So these are the three applications. We need to preach, we need to understand the power we have, and we need to rejoice in the salvation. But Gustavo, you don't know my life. You don't know this. My brother. No. No. We do it. We preach it. Okay? No buts and buts and buts. Okay? The buts may work with me. It doesn't work with our Lord. Our Lord Jesus died on the cross for us. We're going to live for Him and we're going to tell His story. Leo, say amen. Thank you. I think only you understood that. Amen, church? Amen. Let us conclude this sermon. Mission report and joyful conclusion. Verse 17 to verse 24. They report to Jesus, Lord, even the demons submit to us because of your name. And it's beautiful here. Look how this sermon is Christ-centered, not mission-centered. As soon as they report about the mission, Jesus gives a report. Oh, the demons submit to you? Let me report to you. As you are going, as you are preaching, as the demons were going out, I too have a report. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. This is verse 18. Every demon that left, I saw Satan, the chief of the demons, being defeated. In other words, and this is beautiful, Jesus was with them all the time. Verse 1, verse 2, Jesus sends them ahead. But the beautiful picture is that Jesus himself went ahead of them. This is the beauty of this. You go ahead, but I go ahead of you. You go, but I don't go alone. I'm always and always with you. And Jesus redirects their joy. Jesus says in verse 20, however, do not rejoice that the demons, the spirits, submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Church, Jesus redirects their joy, and this is beautiful. They are rejoicing for the things they did, delivering people from demons, perhaps a healing, perhaps one witnessing that went through well and someone repented and believed. They are rejoicing for the things they did. Jesus says, good, rejoice, that's beautiful. But first, rejoice that your names are in heaven. Why? Because your names in heaven don't talk about the things you do. When your name is in heaven, talks about the things I do for you. I went to the cross. I died for your sin. I raised from the dead. I save you. Don't rejoice for the things you do. Rejoice for your salvation. Because every time you rejoice for your salvation, you remember that it's grace from beginning to end. I save you. And all of this brings Jesus' heart to joy. In verse 21, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father. And this is the Trinity, church. It's a heavenly joy. The joy was from the 70s and came down all the way to the three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And every time someone goes talk about Trinity, they talk about the Trinity in a very awkward way. Please never say amen before I say, please never do this. Say amen. Never do this. The Trinity is like the water, solid, vape, and liquid. The Trinity is like the Irish flower. You know the Irish flower? There is a name for that flower. That name, I couldn't hear, but yes, the Irish flower. One flower, three buds. Never do this. Church, the Trinity is not math. The Trinity is relationship. Look at this. This is beautiful. Jesus is baptized. The Father says, this is my Son. I love him. I love him before any miracles, any cross, anything he says. I love him for who he is. And as he is speaking that, the Holy Spirit comes with the love of the Father and embraces the Son. Relationship. Now, Luke chapter 10, it's a different travel, but it's the same thing, relationship. Now, the Son looks to the Father, and the Son speaks to the Father, and He speaks joy. And the joy of the Holy Spirit that embraces the Trinity. Father, You are so wise, and for that I rejoice. Father, You have planned salvation. Adam makes a mess, but You makes beauty. Adam dies in sin, but You rescue. How? Because You give Your grace to the humble and You reject the proud. Because blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Father, I praise You because You save, because You're wise. And what's His wisdom, church? Let us read, and with that we finish. Verse 21, look at the wisdom of God. I praise You, Father. You have hidden these things, salvation, from the wise and learned, and revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for this was Your good pleasure. For those who think they are self-sufficient, they are too good to be truth, their religion is amazing, those don't need Jesus. Those don't need salvation. Those are the proud. But for those who know that despite of their qualities, despite of their doctrines, despite of their denomination, despite of their money, despite of everything above and beyond, they need a Savior. They are desperate. They need the gospel. For those, the gospel came, the gospel saved, the gospel transformed. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord bless me. Amen.